Well, greetings and salutations and welcome to the Confused Breakfast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
I do.
It's hard to beat the ease of the modern era streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your couch. But there was something truly special about finishing a game of croquet, heading to Blockbuster, picking out a movie by hand, and taking it home to watch with you. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. My name is Mike. I'm your host today. Joining me as always, Mike and Mike.
What's up?
How the heck you guys doing?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Mike?
Pretty good.
Nice.
I meant the other Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good today, Mike.
Okay.
I always know which Mike I'm talking to and which Mike
I'm talking into.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Three mics for three
I was introducing
mics.
The mics that Sean Pryor and AJ Vins are talking into.
Yeah.
You get it?
Okay,
you get
okay.
it? That's yeah. good. It's not really funny.
This is blowing my mind.
This is fun.
Well, thanks for being here today, everybody. This was Heather's.
Heather's? Heather, I hardly know her.
Hey, there you
right,
go.
Guys?
We're having fun,
man.
Well, boys, on today's episode, we discuss a true cult classic movie, a high school black comedy film that is regarded as one of the greatest coming-of-age films of all time.
Yeah.
A movie that has since been adapted into a musical and a television reboot. We are, of course, talking about 1989's Heathers.
Okay.
Well, damn dang it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another nostalgic journey to the past with the Confused Breakfast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy wherever you are in the world. Take it away, boys.
Well, if you are new to the podcast, we're going to be reviewing this movie scene by scene with a modern eye. But in order to do that properly, you must first discuss it with pure nostalgias. Sean, I know you've been wanting to do this movie for quite some time. I want to start with you on the nostalgia rating on this.
This is my Breakfast Club. This is like one of my high school movies. This is like my high school movie. Besides Days of Confused. When I first saw it, I think that it kind of blew me away. Where I was just getting into like David Lynch and Kubrick and like Scorsese, all those kinds of movies, and then I saw this movie and I realized that it wasn't like Breakfast Club or like those actual teen movies, and I think that bothered me at first. And I watched it again, and I'm like, oh, I get it now.
Yep.
I think it's kind of one of those movies. I'd be interested to see what you guys think, but I have to give this movie a 7.1.
7.1 nostalgically for the Sean. What about the age?
Speaking of coming of age, this movie is certainly more coming than aging. I don't know.
The tomato meter!
Tomato meter! Splat! Splurge! All over. No, guys, this was definitely one of those movies that when I was younger, I just didn't see. So,
you know those movies that you don't watch?
This is one of them. Huh. It's a big old NA for AJ.
Oh my God.
This movie.
I agree with one of the two of you on how I feel about this movie. And it's definitely AJ.
There's a lot of coming.
It's one of those. I've never even heard of this movie.
Really?
Okay. Until you brought it up on this. And it's surprising because I like to think that my knowledge of at least knowing an 80s or a 90s movie.
You do like to think that.
I would love to think that. At least, I'm not saying I saw it. I'm saying that I at least, I've heard of that movie. But like, I had never even heard of this movie.
Yeah.
And it's surprising to me because I'm thinking, then maybe not that many other people know about it. But this is a very fun, like, people know about this movie. And it is truly cult classic. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Sean holds this in high regard. Me and AJ have literally never seen it until we're going to talk about this. Yeah. So
I thought it was a completely different movie.
I did too.
So yeah.
Like what?
Yep.
No clue what I thought it was.
Okay.
I did. I don't know. I thought it was, I didn't know who was in the movie. For some reason I had it in my head of like something more along the lines of like Jawbreaker.
Okay.
Something like that. That's what I thought.
Okay.
I didn't even have a single thought in my head of what this was.
Yeah.
And I didn't do any research at all so that I could just hit play and
Same.
Go, oh my God, what are we watching?
Yep.
which is a great experience. So we're going to strip away Sean's nostalgia, and we're going to talk about this with a modern day eye. So first, we got to learn the important details of the movie. Sean, what do you got, man?
Let's go with produced by Denise DeNovi, Aya LaBunca, and Christopher Webster. Written by Daniel Waters, he also wrote Hudson Hawk, Batman Begins and Returns, and Demolition Man, which we will cover.
Yeah. We will.
Cinematography by Francis Kenney. Music by David Newman. Directed by Michael Lehman. He's been here before. He did Hudson Hawk, My Giant, 40 Days and 40 Nights, and the prestigious Airheads.
Nice.
Cast: Winona Ryder, Christian Slater, Shannon Doherty, Lizanne Falk, good, Kim Walker, Penelope Milford, Glenn Shaddix, Phil Lewis, Jeremy Applegate, and Patrick, I better get this right, Labrato.
Okay. You're going to be hearing from him maybe on a brunch episode.
Maybe,
coming up here,
right? Maybe be back on the show here soon. Writer Daniel Waters wrote the script with Stanley Kubrick in mind to direct the film. In loving his films, Waters thought that the director's specific sensibilities would suit perfectly with the themes in Waters' script. Turns out it's harder to get a script to Kubrick than you think. After trying several times, Waters got the script to director Michael Lehman, who would helm the project. Yeah, I imagine that it was one of the many, many scripts that came across Stanley Kubrick's desk and that just did not make it into his brain.
That's like 15-year-old AJ taking the demo that was recorded in a basement into Gabe's Oasis.
Yep.
And yeah. Doug there being like, oh, just give us a call if you want to do my movie, Stanley Kubrick. And Stanley Kubrick just saying, I don't call you. Yeah. I don't call you.
Oh, so you call, I call you.
This isn't how it works.
I don't call you.
That's it.
Goodbye.
Okay. I don't listen to your demo. I don't read your script. I don't call you. That's it.
I also think it's fascinating, and this is not a dig on you because people say it, pronounce it like this differently, but you're a Kubrick man and not a Kubrick man.
I'm a Kubrick man. Okay. Yeah. Like a Rubik's Kubrick.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just surprising. You know, I don't know if I'd ever know anybody.
You're part of one of the most popular movie podcasts around, and
Kubrick's
you say Kubrick. Okay. Yep. Cool.
It definitely doesn't bother me. It's just interesting.
Just want you to know.
Okay. Many actresses
I want
were,
you to know that I don't know.
Stanley Kubrick's room. That's what it is.
Go on, Sean.
Many actresses were offered the part of Veronica and then subsequently turned it down because of the dark subject matter. Jennifer Connelly was offered the role and Heather Graham was offered the part of Heather Chandler.
It'd be too close to prime comfort.
Yeah. Winona Ryder wanted the part so badly that she offered to forego her salary for the film. Ryder's agent even got down on her hands and knees begging Ryder to not take the role, saying it would be career suicide, almost like a Christian Bale in American Psycho kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Even though writer Daniel Waters said Ryder wasn't pretty enough. Good God, man.
Wow.
To do this part, she got the part she fought for anyway. Brad Pitt auditioned for JD, but got turned down.
Also not pretty enough. Super weird.
It's weird. I just don't know the taste on this guy. I can't. You know. I can't find the words.
Rattled.
Christian Slater was cast shortly after. Principal photography began on July 1988 and filmed in California at a plethora of high schools around the city. Shannon Doherty was reportedly hard to work with on set, not wanting to say a lot of the profane language of her lines. Director Lehman said she didn't get the movie and it actually helped her performance because she played her character straight when the movie is a dark comedy. So he kind of just directed her and let her do her thing, thinking that this movie was pretty straight instead of being a farce.
Cool.
Pretty much.
Actually, I like that a lot.
Heathers was released on March 31st, 1989, and on a budget of $3 million, the film only made $1.1 million at the box office.
Wah.
It has spawned a TV show remake, kind of, and a musical. That's all I got.
Well, thanks, Sean. We got to go to AJ next. He does the research for us. We got to talk critical fan ratings and reviews. What do you got on this thing?
Don't worry. They aren't real bullets. They just show up with fake blood, like the tomato meter. Gross. They're fake tomato meter bullet. It's fine. 93% Certified fresh.
93%. That is tied in the 23rd spot of any movie we've done. Listen to what it's tied with. T2, True Romance, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it should be noted that it is higher rated than Dazed and Confused, Jurassic Park, and Rocky. Whoa. By the critics.
Wow. Well,
all right.
Sometimes the critics get it wrong, you know? 83% from the audience's perspective.
We're essentially agreeing that if you take critics and fans and you put them together, that is the real rating.
You'll find a happy medium. Yes, I agree. I think that's accurate
Truth
enough.
Truth is somewhere in the middle.
It's funny. If you actually look this up at the wrong time, you'll see that it's not rated on Rotten Tomatoes.
Every odd minute of the day. It's not on there.
Every odd minute of the day.
There's one hacker out there who's like, I hated that movie. I'm just going to keep hacking their site and removing the rating. And then Rotten Tomatoes is like, oh, he's back. Yep, put it back on there.
Treating like goddamn Wikipedia up here. 7.2 on IMDb.
Sorry. I'm not going to give money to you, Wikipedia.
I'm not giving you. You have enough money, trust me.
Oh, my God.
Me.
Please give us money.
They are desperate. Wikipedia, sponsor us. 7.2 on IMDb.
Boys, 7.2 ties this with Big Trouble in Little China, Caddyshack, Clue, Lost Boys, Tremor, and Speed.
Oh.
And it should be noted that Fast Times at Ridgemont High is a 7.1.
Man, that really fits into those movies,
just
I think.
Throw it in there.
I like that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Roger Ebert gave this a 63 out of 100. Chicago Sun-Times, if you don't know where he wrote for. What sets Heathers apart from less intelligent teenage movies is that it has a point of view towards the subject matter, a bleak, macabre, and biddingly satirical one.
Mm.
Jonathan Rosenbaum, another Chicagonite. Chicagonite? Chicagoans?
Yeah, good enough.
Yeah, good. It succeeds at least in being offbeat, but its inanities and glib pretensions are so thick that it mainly comes across as tacky and contrived. Mm. That was a 40 out of 100. This is a 1 out of 10. Budman, 17038 in 2020, said it just entitled, huh?
It works for a person called Budman.
Budman. I think that's... Huh?
Huh?
It's the chick in the movie.
It's a, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Okay, so it's not a mean huh? It's more like,
it's like, huh? Yeah, it's not a huh? It's a huh?
All right.
I lasted not quite 15 minutes. Well.
So, no, it's a huh?
Get some Blue Chew or some Hims wipes.
Yeah, there's...
Sponsor us.
How do you know they're a wipe?
I don't. Hydrogen doesn't work well on the nose, does it?
Spit, you bitch.
I got it. Oh, I couldn't swallow that.
That's what you said.
How do you know it's a wipe? How do you know you chew them?
How do you know?
I just see the commercials. Dude. On like NFL.
Oh,
and stuff.
I just went online and read the directions.
Let me tell you, she's satisfied now.
That's right.
I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, what were we doing?
Hell yeah. That lasted not quite 15 minutes, so I'm not sure I qualify to write a review. Then don't. If you have to question it, then what are we all thinking, you jackass?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
This is good.
But I just didn't get it because you didn't watch it. You were just nailing your own coffin. Oh, geez. The acting is so stiff. Nothing flowed. You said nothing twice. At least the part I saw, LOL. And where's the dark comedy? Well, if you would have stuck around for more than 15 minutes, you might have seen. Like, I can't imagine that somebody started this movie and was like, oh, thank God, a dark comedy. No. I should see the darkness first before the comedy.
They don't advertise it that way.
Okay, fine. Now this is recommended by Prime after watching Election. There's absolutely no comparison.
Oh.
Sean's on board and then he's off again. He got on that train and then he stepped right off. He forgot his bag.
Hey, Prime was on point.
I may have to sue for my wasted 15 minutes.
Get out of here.
By the way, I'm only trying to save someone else from suing.
Not save someone from watching it, but get offended enough to sue
them. He understands they're going to lose the lawsuit. He's like, I don't want you to waste your time.
I want to save someone else from wasting 15 minutes just from suing. here, there were a couple folks inside of the Little Lebowski.
All right.
Urban Achievers on our exclusive Discord.
Patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. That's right. You can join.
Only way to join. We've got, this is perfect, but I had to take this excerpt at least. Luke in there said, it's Mean Girls except Lindsay Lohan, Winona Ryder, has a dark, troubled boyfriend with a dickhead dad who takes her pranks too far. And minus Tina Fey and Don Cheadle.
Okay,
of course.
That's it. Yeah. I believe he gave it 75 out of 100 croquet balls.
Nice.
Cool.
Mike Giuliano did have this to say on here. It's definitely hella dark, but that kind of makes it appealing to him. And definitely a little tough to rewatch frequently and almost impossible to redo or remake, which is why they dropped the TV show so quickly, which I didn't know that.
Supposedly, like, then they film a full season of the TV show, but they just kept being like, all right, we're going to release it on this day. Uh-oh, school shooting. Okay, let's postpone it a month. Oof. Uh-oh, school shooting. Okay, hold on. Let's do 2 months from now. That's when we're school shooting. Like, apparently that's just what kept happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's fucking sad.
Yeah, it's
but
terrible.
It's just, you know, just release it. It's fake. You know, like, we're not going to get into that, but
I mean, let's get into it.
Maybe it is good, and they just, you know, I don't know. Maybe it could have gained some legs if not for that.
Yeah, he said it's kind of like RoboCop in the way that it was trying to be the satire.
Sure, okay.
But it became too close to reality. Okay. You know? He did say, though, since he's basically he's probably the theater kid of the Little Lebowski.
Okay.
Group that he did say the musical version was amazing.
Okay,
and cool. So I would pay money to see that. Yes.
Absolutely,
I probably
not
would pay
on
money.
TV, but I'd like to see it in person.
In person,
yes,
yes, that is correct. So
maybe Lottie's got a production coming.
I was just thinking,
heck yeah, dog.
We'll go. We will travel to England the next time Lottie has a production of Heathers.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, yes.
I guess we're gonna have to do that. Yes,
Lottie being the voice you hear in the.
Right. We'll bring all of our Patreon people with
us. Yep, we'll all just go together.
Yeah, I think that's good.
And Craig.
And Craig.
So, you know what? I am gonna give you this one. This is a 1 out of 10. This will be my last one for this, guys. This is rated a 7.3. Are you freaking kidding? Said Bobby LeBay, July 31st, 2019. This movie is just horrible. Boring. Stupid, completely void of entertainment, and yet it's rated 7.3. I grew up in the 80s, huge fan of the 80s of 80s classic movies. This is not one of them. Here's the offer, IMDb. I am pretty much the best rater of movies.
Ooh.
I know what people like, and I genuinely know crapola when I view it. I can smell it coming. Ew. The bottom line, you pay me $4,000 a month, and I will edit and erase all the BS ratings that misled honest, innocent folks. $4,000 a month isn't going to make me a millionaire. However, I can live comfortably on that salary and make a positive impact on the world. Let's do this. America deserves honest ratings.
Do you think that's satire?
Not the way the Heathers is.
There's no way of telling. So we have to believe that it's not and make fun of him.
We have to believe that this person listens to our podcast.
It says 2019.
So, no.
It could be. I mean, it was before we came out, but then they could have picked us up.
Maybe we've changed him.
Maybe.
Maybe we've created like a better environment for this young man to... Yeah. To just understand that like you can have differing opinions and you can still just have fun.
Yeah, that's true.
Or he's still just a huge piece of shit.
No,
well, he could smell the shit coming.
Yeah.
He takes one to know one.
I could live off $4,000 a month too, man.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
No.
But the fact that you think you are the person that understands good and bad movies.
He's the best rater on IMDb.
We are.
Yeah, you're right.
We're the fucking captain now, bro.
Yeah, we're the captain now.
And our ratings are way more important than what you think.
Take that. What was his name? Bobby LeBay.
What's it say here? Jarrett Layoff?
Jarrett Layoff. Wait a second.
This is Scooby-Doo. It's like, Jarrett Layoff?
Yeah, that's
right. Well, thanks, AJ.
You guys are welcome.
My dudes.
These high school kids in the 80s thought their lives were so tough, but they never had to worry about cybersecurity. In our modern world, the biggest security threats are hidden in the shadows of the internet. And luckily for all of us, our friends NordVPN, sponsor of today's episode, has the product that can keep us safe. NordVPN provides a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online by creating an encrypted tunnel for your data and protecting your online identity by hiding your IP address and masking your virtual location. I've been running it on my phone and my computer for almost a year now, and it seriously is the best peace of mind that I could ever have, knowing that I'm protected in everything I do. They also doubled down on keeping us safe with the new threat protection feature. Say goodbye to intrusive website ads and malware. Even if you download an infected file, threat protection kicks in, deletes it before it makes a mess. But security aside, one of the biggest pluses for movie lovers is that NordVPN allows you to change your IP address to another country in a matter of seconds, and that can open up a whole new database of things you can watch that are not available in the U.S. I was craving two things last night, Pulp Fiction and Fellowship of the Ring. Both are nowhere to be found on any streaming service that I have, so I switched my IP location to Australia. Good day, mate. And I instantly had access to Pulp Fiction and every single one of the Lord of the Rings movies. This is huge for getting around sports blackouts, finding cheaper flights, getting software you can't get in the U.S., and so much more. You know how you search for flights? Like you'll search for it one day, then you go back the next day to purchase it, and they went up in price? Not anymore, thanks to NordVPN. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/breakfast to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan. Plus 4 additional months for free, and it's completely risk-free, 30-day money-back guarantee. Give it a try, and if you like it, great. If you don't, they'll issue a refund. You can pretend like it never happened, but I know you're going to love it. Go to nordvpn.com/breakfast. Get your subscription started today.
Well, my dudes, I would like to read you an entry from my journal. Dear Diary, Sean told me that he teaches people to like heavy metal music. He said that pop music sucks, losers drive. You want to fuck with the Eagles? You have to learn how to fly. I said, so you teach people how to spread their wings and fly? He said, yes. I said, you're beautiful. Our love is God. Let's go get a slushie, an issue of Stud Puppy, a candy dish, a Joan Crawford postcard, some mascara, and some mineral water, and let's get this party started. Here we go!
All right.
Hell yeah.
Scene one. At Westerberg High School, Veronica Sawyer becomes part of a popular but feared clique run by three girls named Heather. After a day at school becoming frustrated with the clique abusing its power, she meets a new student named JD, who eventually pulls out a gun and fires blanks to scare football player bullies Kurt and Ram. Veronica goes with Heather Chandler to a frat party. After refusing to have sex with a frat guy, Veronica embarrasses Heather and leaves. JD shows up at Veronica's house and they have sex.
Yes, yeah, dude.
AJ, I'm going to start with you on this one because were you as turned off from the start of this as I was when at the intro here realizing all their names are Heather?
Yes.
It set me down a wrong path to start this movie.
Yeah.
Because I didn't read anything about this. I knew nothing of it being a satire. I was just like, what the fuck are we watching?
I thought it was just the name. It would just be the name of a clique. You know what
the
I
Heathers.
Mean? Like, oh, that's the Heathers. And maybe it could be named after the main girl who is named Heather.
Yes.
But instead, it's like, no, they're all named Heather. And I don't know that between that and the obnoxiously large writing in the journal, those two things turned me off right away.
Right. like. It took me a while to figure out, and maybe that's a true like good satire to where it's sort of hidden from you. But if you don't know what you're getting into this, I can see why people are turning this movie off 15 minutes in if you don't actually understand what's going on. If let's say I was just Netflix and chilling, and I was like, oh, I've heard good things about this, Heather. I might have turned this off and decided to go to something else before I realized what I was getting in. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go back a second time watch, you're like, oh, fuck yeah. I see what's going on here. But at first, it's a little hard to understand what they're going for.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I will say this. Before Sean sets us right, I did think it was funny though, because the whole time that they are talking, or especially like playing croquet or whatnot, right? I was like, how do they know who they're talking to? But they know,
of course,
and
they
that's
do.
Funny.
Yeah,
it's very. You know funny. What I mean? And like the fact that they never allude to it, or they never make that joke, is very much appreciated.
Yes,
appreciated, because it's. It's the low-hanging fruit of like, hey, Heather, not you, other Heather. It's like, that would have been too easy. But the fact that they never acknowledge it is, like, on my second rewatch, I was like, okay,
yep.
I do think this totally. Is funny.
That is fun. I never really caught that, actually. But I like the way that this whole intro thing is shot, especially.
Pretty good.
Because it looks so much like Carrie, Brian De Palma's Carrie. And I think that's where Waters got a lot of his inspiration for this script.
Okay.
And I think a reviewer said it is like the Carrie of the 80s, which is Carrie.
Yeah.
It was like 78 or something like that.
Sure.
And I totally agree with that. I think it's like just you get in right away with this click, I guess, and realize what it's doing. Like they're all named Heather. It's pretty on the nose. Like, obviously,
you're the
maybe,
same people.
Maybe, yeah. Obviously, maybe after like a second watch or something like that with what you guys are saying. But it is just like so on the nose of this is a clique and this they run the school.
And that Veronica does not belong because her name is not Heather. And are we made to believe like we're supposed to believe that Veronica is a good, nice person that is falling into the wrong group here, right?
Yeah,
I think, feel that. Yeah,
I think you as the movie goes on, you kind of discover that she's got a lot more hidden problems.
Yeah,
and
for sure
that are repressed, I guess.
Yeah, but she, you know, she's at least, you know, they say Martha dump truck, and she's like, she doesn't correct them for saying Martha dump truck, but she says, no, Martha Dunstock's been nothing but nice to me. You know, like. Such a subtle way to tell us that she's better than they are.
Yeah.
Instead of the like, but she doesn't want to correct them in saying it.
Yeah.
Like, don't call her dump truck.
Like,
what'd
still,
you say? You know, like.
She's still intimidated to do that to a degree. Maybe intimidated isn't the right word, but she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to cause like the friction immediately or like up front like that. Mm-hmm. But she's going to stick to her own guns of. Using the right name, you know, like little things like that, like you're saying.
I do like how it drops us into the movie too, and it doesn't like explain how, because it doesn't, like you're saying, it doesn't seem like Veronica belongs in this, and it seems like she's doesn't want to be here. And we don't get like the lead up to that. We don't get like, I guess, the origin story of how she made it to.
Yeah,
this.
Why did she make it into that crew?
Yeah,
it's not the Mean Girls type thing,
exactly.
Where we see who she was beforehand, and then joins this hot girl clique, you know, that rich, pretentious girl clique. Yeah.
I really think that it's a lot to do with what we learn about Veronica as the movie goes on is that this was almost a project of hers.
Maybe.
But like in this lunchroom scene too, and I do have a note, I was like, this is where Mean Girls got their whole aesthetic.
It has
100%.
It has to be.
The whole cafeteria scene is just like, oh yeah, we recruited one of our soldiers, Veronica, to go fuck with.
Yeah. They're like sending her on missions.
It's
to
like
see what
so
she can do.
Creepy and weird. You know what I mean? Like it's just, it's like a gang almost. It's like a Goodfellas kind of thing. It's like, oh, well, Tony, you go fuck with Martha Dump Truck. You know,
you're right. Like, you know, scare them a little bit.
It's like,
you know?
Why? It seems like a mandate, you know, it seems like, well, we haven't done this in a while. We gotta bring her down.
It'd be really funny. We should do this.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I feel the way I felt was Veronica's a part of this group to whatever degree she really is, because her family's wealthy, you know, because that's where they're playing croquet all the time.
Yeah, you don't realize that, but it's actually Veronica's house.
It's actually her house because everyone else eventually leaves, and then it's her with her parents or whatnot, and that's what you kind of realize. But that's just kind of what it. Maybe that's why
she's just a rich kid that needs to be friends with the rich girls,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and these, I mean, I love the introduction where you start to just meet all the high schoolers, and like this question, this poll that they do really shows you how just dumb everyone is in this movie. Cause like, what is the question? The question is you inherit $2 million, but you find out that in 2 days aliens are going to blow up the world. Mm-hmm. What do you do? And every one of their answers makes no sense. Like, I'd give it to my father to invest. You're like, invest what? There's 2 days left. Or the one dude's like, well, but hold on. It won't exactly be $2 million because after taxes and like.
Yeah.
But Ram's answer is probably the only one that makes sense. Isn't he like, I pay Madonna $1 million to sit on my face. Like, he's the only one thinking properly about this question.
He's the only
right?
one that's like really practically animalistic.
Because everyone else is being overly practical in their answers.
The world's going to end in 2 days. Right. What are you talking about?
They think there's
all they
a
hear
future.
Is $2 million.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And they well, invest is like, well, there's nothing, there's not going to be anything left. Well, that's idiotic.
Yeah. Yes.
But like, they're in high school, nothing's gonna go wrong for them, right? Like, yeah. This is, we have our whole lives ahead of us.
Oh man. Yeah. But then you get fucking JD with his douchebag answer of like, I'd row out into the middle of a lake somewhere,
dude,
bring along a bottle of tequila, my sax, and maybe some Bach.
Some Bach.
Like, that is just like, but I love this because you've got the idiot people. You've got the like overly sexualized people, then you've got the fucking really cool guy.
Ram's like, should we kick his ass? Mike, he needs it.
He does need it.
Yeah. If anybody needs it in this movie, it's him.
What do we, can we just talk about Christian Slater? We kind of had the same conversation in True Romance of like this, like, do we like Christian Slater? You know, cause like when I heard about Brad Pitt, young Brad Pitt playing this role, like I instantly got turned on. Of this idea of young Brad Pitt, like doing really good acting in this role and like playing the good looking, but yet like really smart kind of like he would have done it.
I think it would have been a less obvious version of what Christian Slater did, you know, especially when he was younger, he had the doe eye approach that like Brad Pitt did, you know, to like kind of take it to this point where, and be maybe a little bit more mysterious in the silent way, rather than Christian Slater, who I believe even said, like, I took like a Jack Nicholson approach to this role,
which is actually amazing because there were moments there where I was like, Christian Slater in this movie could be the Joker, a Batman remake.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Like, he could have been the next Batman. The next Joker in some sort of Batman, because he had that Nicholson vibe to him.
He's got that, you know, that kind of
squint.
It's a lot of shoulders with Christian Slater. It's a lot of
shoulders and squinting.
I'm gonna tell you this.
If you want to go play video games all day, I guess you could do that. Sounds like a waste of life to me.
Seems like the school has plenty of assholes. It looks like to me.
It looks like to me. It looks like just a bunch of fucking assholes looking to just, you know, be dicks. It looks like to me.
You guys haven't seen Cutting Class with Brad Pitt.
No.
That's
who we would have had.
That came out the same year as this.
Would it have not? Am I just not thinking good about it?
You're thinking Brad Pitt nowadays.
I'm thinking Legends of the Fall, Brad Pitt.
No, sir. Okay. I have to show you a Cutting Class.
Okay.
Anyway,
Brad Pitt now or Brad Pitt 1988? Meg Ryan.
What are you?
Meg Ryan.
No, I think Christian Slater, I think we said it in True Romance too, where it's like he's got that edge to him. Like, he's really got that handsome dude that's got that mean guy edge, or like the mysterious guy edge. He's perfect for this
role.
He's
a good looking guy. Like, so it fits the role.
Mm-hmm. It's less, True Romance is like less mysterious and more edge. Yeah. Whereas this is trying to be come off as less edge and more mysterious. And it just doesn't quite get there. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we're in the bathroom.
Just the cuts they make, like the, she's puking in the bathroom. And she's like, let's take another look at today's lunch. And It goes right to that shot of the lunch being sprayed off of dinner, lunch trays into the trash.
Yeah.
And even like, I love that straight on shot of Ram and Kurt come over to confront JD, and that camera's right on Ram and Kurt's face, like as if there's a camera in between them confronting each other. There's some great stylistic choices that they made on this that are just so subtle, but like they really work. Like it's a well done film.
I talking about the editing of like cutting on the puke and the lunch. I like all the inner cuts with the confessionals of like saying that what they would do with the $2 million and everything. I thought that was really cool. Really, because I was getting a little tired of the cafeteria at this point, and then they started doing that. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm in. Like the pace is kind of picking up with the cuts. I totally agree. I think you don't really see a lot of like directing flourish with Michael Lehman in Airheads specifically, but I think, and even here, I think he's really just shooting the script and like shooting coverage and everything.
Yeah.
But then like he notices and knows that this is more of a black comedy with more, you could say, leans in a little bit to the, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, there's a little bit of that weird edge that he needs to lead into at certain points, and he does.
You feel like something's off kind of at times.
So you really don't 100%. Feel like the director is taking over the story. You feel like you're being led by the script, and then the director's like, I need to
insert these. You need to see this.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a point where some of it feels like dream-esque.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at.
In a way that it's like, this can't be a real thing. Like this has to, it's like somebody's recollection of what happened.
Sure. Yeah.
Not what actually happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's got a dream sense to it.
Yes. It just seems slightly fantastical in that way of like, it's like you cut off the corners of the frame. You know what I mean? Like of the picture.
Got that opaque kind of look.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about like pretty much most of this movie is that's the way it feels to me. It's like not totally real, just somebody's recollection of it.
Yeah.
It's so wild to me that we're a couple movies over the last couple weeks where there's a gun being fired with blanks, like Empire Records this. And it's like both times it just shocked me to see someone pull out of a gun and just start shooting. And it's just so wild how much has changed in the world. This is, we say like, oh, you can never make this movie nowadays. Yeah. And most of the time I feel like that's bullshit. Like you can make whatever you want, but like this movie does not have the same vibe as it does nowadays to a guy to take out a gun and start shooting people. And then them to argue like Heather, number one's completely fucking right. She's like, they should send him to jail.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's just a gun with both times. It's just blanks. It's like, so what?
It's and threatening.
Maybe back then it really was different. Oh, it's just a gun with blanks. You know, that's
weird. a different time.
But man, like things are, they would have to really, this movie would just have to be done so differently and delicately.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I hope it could be done. It's just because the message is there. It's just about how do we do it, you know?
Did you guys ever watch like whatever it was, 2018? I think there was a remake.
2012?
Of this movie? Mm-mm. Wasn't there a remake of it or something?
I thought you were talking about the movie 2012.
Oh, no.
San Andreas, that kind of
stuff.
San Andreas.
Yeah, The Rock. You got it.
Roland Emmerich kind of stuff.
Yeah. Rampage. No, the like there's
the pacifier. Wait, different. That's different.
Ooh, wait, yeah. He had like I don't know if it was a remake, but there was some 2018 thing I saw.
That was the TV show.
I think the
season did come out eventually. I think maybe.
Okay, but there have been other shows about it, about this kind of subject matter. However, it was not as near as much of like a focus, you know, and it's certainly not satirical in any way usually, right. You know, there's been Netflix shows that like have come out that talk about, you know, suicide, you know, shootings, things like that, that it's terrible subject matter, but at the same time they shed a light on it,
yeah,
but never in a almost satirical way,
funny way.
They're never gonna take it like that twist on it.
I really feel like this movie incorporates it in a way where it is somehow respectful, because it, like, even if that wasn't like much of a phenomenon back in the day, I do think that even being in high school, for some people, feel like you want to fucking kill yourself, man. Like, it's just the worst thing you're going through at the moment. And that's your life. Yeah. You have to be there fucking every day. You have to deal with these people every day, you know? And I think this movie is like really the version of a Breakfast Club or a Pretty in Pink. That's like, no, this one is real though. This is what the thoughts of the kids that they really have these thoughts, you know?
It's yeah. Dude, Sean, it's so hard. It's so hard to like put it into words because you look back on high school, you're just like, you fucking idiots. This is the best time of your life. Yeah. Like grow up, dude. Life's going to get so much harder. But at the same time, it is the hardest thing they've ever gone through.
Yeah.
And you can't look ahead and be like, oh, things are going to be even harder. You can't do that. And they even say the line like, whether to kill yourself or not is one of the most important decisions a teenager can make. That's fucking funny because that is like what a teenage mind would think.
Yeah.
Even though we're laughing at it, they're like, it's serious to them. It's such a hard thing to define. And this movie does a really good job of like, remember that it line. Was pretty serious. Yeah. Remember, you know?
We've had that conversation, Mike, maybe we were talking about it at some point or another, but you know, you talk about like a baby or like a little kid and they cry about something or whatever it is. And somebody said,
I tell Will point, every day.
Yeah.
I go, what are you crying for? This is the best day of your life.
But that's the thing.
It's only going to get worse from here.
Is somebody said that you have to remember that number one, it's potentially the very first time that they're ever feeling that.
Yep.
And even though it could be something as easy as like, oh, I accidentally like touched, like poked myself on the hand. It's the most painful experience that they have had up to that point ever. In their life.
Yes.
They have never experienced anything that painful in their life. And you just keep fast forwarding that to high school. And this is
hand doesn't feel like that big of a deal because of what you've gone through now.
And now you go into high school, but at that point again, it's like the breakups, the getting picked on,
that's
battling.
That's a good way of putting it, man.
It's the hardest thing that you've maybe ever experienced up to that point in your life. Yeah. And it's really it can be a very dark subject.
Yeah, you're right. And like looking back now, you're like, well, I've gone through so much other hard shit in my life.
Yeah.
That's nothing compared to whatever.
You have a mortgage.
Yeah,
fucking
exactly.
Idiot.
And then like, but when you're in it, it feels like an open wound that people are just like piling whatever, like they're throwing salt at it. Man. Every day you show up, you know, and then some days it's fine.
But that's why high school movies and college movies, that's why like I always say just like inject them into my veins because like I love re-experiencing that.
Yeah.
Knowing that like, oh, phew, I made it through. But this is fun to watch these kids make it through. Like, I don't know why it's such a big thing. And it even dives into like, other ass, even like high school romances. This is he's like, or she's like, I don't really like my friends. He's like, I don't really like your friends either.
Like your friends either.
Is that the epitome of dating someone in high school?
Oh, my God,
I fucking hate your friends, but I love you.
I love how she puts it. She's like, there are people I work with, and I feel like I have to clock in, there are people I work with and shit, or there are people I work with, and our job is being popular and shit.
Yeah,
God,
it's like that is perfect. Like
it's sad.
It's sad because it seems like a chore, you know, like I kind of feel that maybe sometimes where like she knows that these aren't really her friends, but she's still gonna incorporate and associate with them.
She has to. She's gotta climb the ladder.
Yeah. Like and we don't,
Sean feels that way every time he walks into this room with Mike and I.
What am I gonna do to impress them today? Like,
John's like, I try with my movie knowledge. It doesn't work. So I
try
to come
and tell
him
Brad Pitt was bad in 1989.
He's like,
they won't
just
fucking listen to me.
Oh, they're just shitty people, and I have to deal with them and put up with it.
But unfortunately, when this podcast train has left the station, and I really like it, I'm just going to keep going. Maybe I can change them.
Just got to spread the gospel somehow, you know.
Brad Pitt gospel.
Bad in 1989. They won't listen.
Ooh, here's a prop.
I want to start the prop train here. I'm sorry to start it so early, but Martha Dump Truck is wearing that pink shirt. It's like a pink collared shirt and it's like a long sleeve.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it, but I feel like I could wear that.
You need to wear that on stage.
I feel like I could wear that shirt.
Buttoned up.
I don't know what it says. It's got like all kinds of stuff on it. I don't even know.
You mean our next live show, February 24th?
Yes.
In Cedar Rapids?
Yes. At the Olympic
Theater. Where we're going to be selling out, and you should probably buy your tickets now.
Probably
buy them. Breakfast.com.
Is that what you meant? Is that by the show?
Because we're reviewing Air Force One? Fuck.
Yep.
Okay, so I need to get this prop to wear it at the live show.
Yeah, you do.
All right.
You really do.
What props do you guys want?
Heather's suicide note that they make for her. I want
the first Heather?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one.
I want the croquet set.
Nice. Have you ever played croquet before?
No.
It's not really that fun.
No, it's...
Maybe it's because I don't understand the rules.
Somebody set one up, and then we just like kept hammering those things.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because we were 11 years old.
I'm more of a bocce ball guy. Like, I like the freedom of bocce to just go wherever.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I don't like the little goals.
So you guys are like doing cold plunges and shit like that. Are you guys going to become like pickleball people?
We're going to be croquet guys.
Dude, I'll play pickleball all day. Let's go.
What if we brought back croquet?
Oh, what about badminton?
I'm all in on badminton.
You're
I'll kick your ass
on the
at
lawn,
badminton.
Man, I play croquet out there.
I'll tear you up and my knees playing badminton.
All day. I'll shove a shuttlecock down your throat in badminton.
Badminton.
Could you just play like bags or darts or something?
You mean cornhole?
Cornhole?
It's called cornhole.
That's more fun that way. People think it's funny. Because it's cornhole.
I got mine has Busch Light.
Because that also
it.
Means butthole.
Uh-huh.
Poop shoot.
Dark comedy. That's what I call mine.
Croquet.
We're moving on to the college party.
Hang on. Is this scene two?
No, the college
party. Okay. Well, I just have to say that one of the best lines of the entire fucking movie, fuck me gently with a chainsaw.
Jesus. Who says that?
Some of the lines Heather. In this movie is like...
Which Heather?
Yep.
Number one?
Don't ask. I don't know. We don't ask which one. We just know.
I don't know what Daniel Waters was tapping into.
Tap water?
Tapping into with like... Or like who he saw talk like this or, you know.
I read that he tried to make the language of this like up. That he didn't want. He said something along the lines of he didn't want this to be put into a time capsule where it's like, oh, fuck, of course. They used to say that in the 80s.
Right.
So he brilliant. Sort of made up. Things as like pretending like that was what people would say, like the how very I've never heard anyone say that,
right.
but a lot of it became part of the culture of talking after watching this movie.
See, and I think I do
which
think
is
that
genius.
That's, really I yeah, I think that's really smart. It's very, very interesting too, because it doesn't time stamp your movie necessarily as much as it would if you use stuff like as if or
as if. Talk or, to the hand.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of stuff.
That kind of stuff, right? But, and I kept catching that, like all their click verbiage and things like, you know, but I never, I didn't think of it at all.
It felt like alternate universe. You're like, did we ever say that?
Yeah, good call. Yeah.
I feel like we said that, but I don't remember saying that, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I like that. And it's almost like it's inspired by Kubrick, I guess. It's a... Clockwork Orange or the novel of Clockwork Orange, like Droogs, you know, that's no one said what the fuck is Droogs? It made its own language up, you know, it kind of reminds me of that.
Like Fellowship of the Ring.
For sure. Like
basically writing a whole
language for it.
Yeah. For sure. The party.
We're going to the college party. I love this too. Cause I've always loved the difference between high school and college. It's one of my favorite times in the world of where there's such a big difference of people.
We did a road trip last week and then we're doing high school this week or college.
And they all look like they could have been in road trip. So
and these fuckers I've been to a lot of college parties. Never once has the college party has the thing behind it been like, throw your coats on the floor.
Yeah.
Why?
Again, I think it's like this. I think it's just adding to this like world.
Yeah.
You know?
Throw your coats on the floor. Stay a while.
Is it like a key party where you throw your like coat down? Someone picks it up. Whose coat is this? Well, I'm fucking you. Then
I get to fuck you.
I'm taking you home because I got your jacket.
Is that what it is?
Got your nose. So
it's just like that.
It's just like that game, I think. Got your nose. So I'm going to. Fuck it. What?
But these movies, like,
got your coat.
This movie in particular, like, is hard to watch when you have a child that is a female.
Yeah.
Because, like, all I was thinking during this movie was, like, I really don't want Willa to fall in love with a guy like JD.
Mm-hmm.
Like that fake ass, I'm so fucking cool and educated. Because, like, that would really bug me.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, great. And then she's going to go to college. She's going to have these fuck asses. Like,
yeah.
I just want to get laid. Fuck. Like it makes me look at the world like a very different place.
Not sure.
Bringing a girl into the world.
Yeah. I mean,
I have a lot of work to do.
Like last week, it's just like a lineup auction of women. Like, I'm sure I don't want my daughter doing anything like that.
Luckily, I don't think any of this really happens, but who knows? Sure.
That's a good point. Like, it's like, okay, thank goodness we can analyze these movies and realize that a lot of this stuff doesn't genuinely happen. Granted, I've never gone to college in New York or wherever the fuck.
Ohio. But
Ohio. Yeah, that place. Ugh. Another four-lettered state.
Ugh.
But no, I think that that's the thing, but it does. It gives you just like, even, I mean, just, I think just, I have a son and it's just like,
trying to teach him.
I need to make sure
that
he's not such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like he can't, like, this is not okay. Like, this is insane. Like dudes just walking around and like they're already in the mindset of like, fuck yeah, high school chicks. Like
it's an entitlement.
They're going to bang us because we're college guys.
Yeah, that's the only reason. Yeah.
Oh, man. So nice not hanging out with college girls. I don't have to ask you what your major is.
So
anyway, what are you going to study when you get to college? It's like,
those guys,
it was really good.
I was like, these dudes are the worst. These are the most like non-substantial human beings that exist in the real world.
One note,
you know,
just one that's note, all they are.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Awful people.
Well, even to the point of them going, it seems like it's pre-written for them, especially in our omniscient view of with Veronica. You know, it's like, well, this is what we do in the Heather's clique. We got to go to the college party and
suck some dick.
And I love that the shot of when he's like, I can't control myself, and she goes down on him. It pans up to that poster of the guy getting blown away by the speakers.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I was like, oh,
I didn't even think about God, that.
Yes, like honestly, the only thing I thought of was like, I've seen that poster before, probably on like, you know, like Alibaba, like Facebook ads.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you can get this poster. I'm like, I don't even know what that's from.
I don't need that.
And it's like, oh, some guy's getting blown. Oh, got it.
Well, and I always love this in movies. Like this is where she's pretending like this. Well, this is what we do. We fucking go and we get laid, but she doesn't actually want to do
no
any
exactly
of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's such an American Beauty, or I think it's happened in some other movies we've done where I just love that they let you see the other side of it, because no girl in her school is going to see that side of that Heather being pissed off she had to do that and be like, fuck, god damn it. You know, but we at least get to see it as the audience, be like, oh, duh, she's not perfect.
Yeah.
It's quite a weird mindset of doesn't want to do it, but doesn't have any other outside influence of, well, you need to do this so you'll be cool, other than fucking guy Jabroni Magoo who needs this, who wants it. Yeah. Right. Like, that's it. That's the only outside influence, and but for what we know or what we see, she walks out of there like, yeah, we're here to do this, Veronica.
Yeah.
Hello, so we can be cool. It's like, you don't even want to do this. What the hell is going on?
All of these Heathers are Claire from Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or vice versa.
They are, man.
Yeah.
You don't understand that pressure.
Exactly.
Are we to believe that she was drinking like 151, like clear vodka or clear, like Everclear because of how it starts on fire.
Oh yeah, I guess.
And why she got so sick and puked, like were people just feeding her like, Everclear.
Yeah. Jesus.
That's what I was getting the implication of.
Okay.
The whole trash fire thing. Like maybe that is just an analogy.
This is
for
a dumpster fire.
This fucking party is. It's a fucking trash fire.
Nice.
Like, I don't know. But honestly, I didn't get it because it's something that is just walked. They
you
literally
thought maybe the building was going to start on fire and they would get in trouble.
They literally walk right by it because it's like, oh, I threw this fire into that trash. It started a fire. And even as we're outside, we don't even care about it.
Or is that the weird moment that like changed her for good, that changed Veronica and lit a fire
it
in her
fire?
Both of that. That's really cool.
Or we might be thinking too hard on this.
I don't think so.
You don't
think
so?
It's fun.
Okay, cool.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Look it up, baby. Look it up. Whatever.
CS says here, I'm totally right. It says Mike Schulte is very smart and he has great fan theories.
Oh, wow. Wow, you why?
Hey, good job. You passed cinema school. Thanks.
Googled yourself, right?
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, man, that's dope.
I'm going to get real personal on you here. It's your buddy, Mike. I feel like I could talk to you about anything. I have a thing where I do get very anxious and I do overwork myself and I do just spend a lot of mental energy on daily life. The problem is when I'm done with my day, I really like to relax. I'm not like a weed smoking guy. I'm not like any sort of other drugs kind of a guy. The older I get, the more I realize like, hey, maybe booze isn't the answer. You know, I'll have my Cedar Ridge, but I'm not going to like pound 27 beers because it just makes you feel terrible the next day. So like the only thing left for me is like gummies, right? But like I always had these really bad experiences where I would eat like an ear off of a gummy in Colorado and then ruin my entire day because I just don't have the tolerance. I'm so thankful that our sponsor Microdose came into my life. Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that you feel just the right amount of good, that just right feeling, like when everything's at peace and nothing's too much, nothing's too little. They help with everything. Like I sleep better than I ever have. My anxiety's down. My relaxation in the evening after Willow goes to bed is incredible. Creativity. A lot of times I write my stuff for the show after I've been chilling out and having some microdose gummies. I really think that you're going to enjoy this, and I really think it's something for you if my story rings true to you. So please check out microdose gummies. Get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code BREAKFAST. It's available nationwide, shipped right to your door. That's microdose.com, promo code breakfast for 30% off and free shipping. Don't hesitate to message us if you have questions about it. We are happy to answer. Let's get back to the show.
So the next morning, Veronica and JD break into Heather Chandler's house. JD serves her poison drain cleaner disguised as a hangover cure, and she dies. Veronica panics, and JD urges her to force a dramatic suicide note in Chandler's writing. The community regards Chandler's apparent suicide as a tragic decision made by a troubled teenager, making her even more worshipped in death than in life. Heather Duke becomes the clique's new leader. So, AJ, I'm going to go back to you on this one, man. Like, again, were you just like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't know anything about this movie, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be some stupid kind of high school drama movie. And then all of a sudden, they're killing someone.
Well,
and it actually happened.
It actually happens. And so the first time I watched it, I had to like walk around to my kitchen and then come back. And they had, in that time, they had already like put the drink together and the stuff was out. And like, oh, orange juice and milk and all that. Like, and
Phlegm Glaber.
Yeah. And like, you know, and then I see on the counter, there's like a Drano or something like that. Right. Or like a sink cleaner. And I'm like, that's not good. Like, that's going to do damage. I was like, huh? Okay. Well, maybe it's just like a misnomer. Like, they missed it in the '80s of like, oh, this could kill people. And, you know, that's how dumb I'm thinking about it.
They didn't know it. Yeah.
No, they didn't realize it in the '80s, but that's bad for you. You shouldn't drink that. And like, but then I watch it all go down. And I'm like, Oh,
they did that on purpose.
Oh, they are skating over this, and then now it's a surprise that they killed her.
I think my
gotcha.
I think my last words are going to be corn nuts too.
Corn nuts.
What is the reason behind that?
She just wanted barbecue corn nuts at the gas station.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, cool.
Yeah, or maybe that's what that guy tasted like. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably. But that's it. And I didn't get it. I'll be honest with you. I was like, wait, is she actually dead?
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, I kept waiting for maybe she would survive or something. Yeah. Or she passed out. It's like, no, she's dead.
Well, your comparison to Jawbreaker, I don't know if you've seen it or it just reminds you of it. It's pretty, like the first time I saw that, I'm like, wait, you can kill someone and be fun about it?
Yeah, it can be funny.
Yeah,
that movie scared the shit out of me the first 7 minutes into it.
When they open up the trunk and the huge fucking thing in the throat, it scared the shit out of me too.
It literally made me think jawbreakers were going to be a bigger problem in my life. I was like, well, I hope that never happens to me because I would definitely choke. I couldn't swallow it.
I think it's still effective and it still gets to me too, where it's this kind of black comedy, especially if you're dealing with like death or like even Throw Mama from the Train is kind of like that. That freaked me out as a kid as well. It still works because it's, or like even seeing Robin Williams in 1 hour photo freaks me the fuck out. Like seeing that man be an evil person.
I love that movie.
It's interesting. You know, just the simple casting of it almost makes it, wow, it shouldn't be this bad.
Yeah.
But it is, you know?
Yeah. And
that's interesting.
I do think that it works well even today where it's, they don't make movies like this anymore, I don't think. Not even like the subject matter, but like black comedies like this where people die and it's not a big deal in this universe, you know.
It's actually a really, like, it's the best thing that ever happened to Heather. Yeah. Number one was that she died.
Right.
Like, in theory,
it confirmed everyone, like, people probably
she became a martyr.
Yeah. People probably thought she was a bitch even, but even in death that kind of goes away with her. They're like, "Oh, she was such a good person and everything." She made fun of you every day, every single day. Yeah, but it's so weird how death kind of does that for it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you get the people write their fucking eulogies on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, "Oh, my third cousin's uncle passed away. He was such a nice man." It's like, you didn't even think to talk to him for the last 20 years. Yeah. It's never even crossed your mind. But now you have the ability to get sympathy from people.
Now everyone has a Heather Chandler story.
Yes. And now like people can be like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to hear that." Yeah.
You can pull from it to make it your own, make it about you somehow, how it affects you in this world.
And that's a great callback to like modern day social media before this was even a thing. Like, everybody's making it about them. And that's what social media is nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, you take any tragedy to be like, "It's about me. It's about me. Mm-hmm. Please give me sympathy on Facebook." Mm-hmm.
Yep. This person died. It's about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
I love the principal's meeting, the teachers and everything. It was so fucking, I really commend her use of the word myriad. Fucking love that. That's so good.
We're talking about like basically that, like, this young woman died.
Yeah.
And we're sitting around talking about, like, you never would have expected it, and her use of the word myriad, and like how I think it was really funny how she even Veronica's like, "Well, she misspelled it on her, like, on her spelling test or whatever, like 2 weeks ago." And he's like, "Yeah, it's even better because now she's like fully aware and wants to use it." Like, like, that is deep right there. That's freaking hilarious, man.
Oh, man.
Well, and this is such a commentary on the adults, too. Like, I don't know if this is because it's the teenager's view of the adults or if the adults are actually to blame here. But, like, Veronica's parents fucking suck.
Yeah.
They are terrible. So I don't know if that's Veronica's view on them or if they really are. Like, what was the first day after Heather's suicide like? Sit down and have a... What?
Like, you want some pate?
And it just shows the huge. Well, and it shows that it happens twice. It shows the mundaneness of the adult's life that the kids don't ever want to be like. That conversation, it's a goddamn, will somebody tell me why I read these spy novels? 30 minutes after that, goddamn, will somebody tell me why I smoke these things? She says, "Because you're an idiot," both times. He says, "Oh, yeah, that's it," both times. Mom goes, "You too," both times. And then she both times says, "Great pate. I got a motor if I wanna." One time it's the party tonight. One time it's the funeral. It's the mundanity of your home life.
Just repeats itself.
It's the same thing every fucking day. The
parents are pretty much this close to being empty nesters, and they're just waiting for it. And now they're just kind of going through the motions of, you're home. Hey, come tell us about your day, and then fuck off, please.
Same joke every time.
We just want to keep drinking our drinks and smoking our smokes and eating our pate. That's about it.
It's basically all they care about. And you can hang out with us as long as you want, and then we don't really care when or if you leave.
Yeah,
there's nothing to it. It's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
Hit it.
If we were on a train to go punch a face, I'm on board.
That's what I'm talking about.
So So like that was a big thing for me. It was hard picking a punchable face on this, but I started to realize it is more of the adults that I feel hatred for, especially like JD's dad.
Yep.
JD's dad's my guy on this one because this guy, he is the reason JD is who he is.
Yeah.
And you realize that towards the end, you're like, he's just watching, he's idolizing this shitty person and trying to be just like him. JD might have had a better outcome if he would have had a dad that was not a piece of shit. The fact that he's walking 0.3 miles per hour on that treadmill, what are you even doing here, man? So I'm punching JD's dad for sure. Like that rubs me wrong.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm with that for sure. And it's like they're talking about the parents and everything. It's just like kind of mundane and like they're so dejected from their kids' lives anymore. He's acting as if he's his kid, you know?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It makes like, no sense.
There's something in there where it's just like you're even that's removed from reality. Like even the way you talk to each other is like not real at all. And it needs to be real sometimes, you know?
I hate the activities of like some of these jocks here and how they act and how bad the bullies are in this movie. Like, yeah, it all sucks, but I'm not giving a pass to it, but my God, it's like young kids are cruel, man. It's because they just haven't figured it out yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of times they're cruel because their parents are pieces of shit.
Where does it come from?
We haven't said this in a long time, but where are the parents in this entire movie?
Dude, you're 100% right. Like, where are the parents? Because they are literally just there drinking drinks and, like you said, Sean, just sucking down pate.
I
love it when the other Heather walks in. It's like, oh, is that pate? But you're right. Oh. It's like, where the hell are they? That's where they are. They're nowhere to actually be found. Like then the teachers are even removed from this because they're even making a martyr out of Heather.
Yeah.
Heather's death. You know,
I'm convinced you can't be a bully without having shitty parents. Like I'm convinced of that. I'd like to think that's the truth.
I think that there is something to that. I think that like if you are a bully, whether it be directly your parents or not, it does have something to do with, you know, your day to day outside of school.
If you don't naturally have empathy, you need to have it almost taught to you.
Yeah.
And that's a parent's job.
Yeah.
This is wrong. Don't make fun of fat people. You know?
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't do this. You know, like that's not okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Well, we got to talk about Otho being back in the movie too. Father Ripper.
Ah.
Father Ripper.
I like the commentary on this though too, because clearly this priest is so removed from anything. Where he's like, the reason this happened is because they weren't close to the Lord. You know, like he even like says those MTV video games.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know.
Doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah.
And that's been going on for centuries. It's Marilyn Manson was the reason Columbine happens. Like, what?
You'd blame like a game that is very much like pixelated and like especially in this time, right? Even
Mortal
before,
Kombat.
Like, even before Mortal Kombat,
we're talking like Tetris.
Such an evil game.
Burger Time.
Communist Tetris is having an impact on our
the
children.
Russian music really gets in their brains.
It was in 440, which is meant to control the kids. But like, it would be something like Double Dragon.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh. You can kind of see like this like red pixel that happens. That's what's melting our kids' brains.
Melting their brains.
That's right.
There's MTV video games.
There's no game that I'm more convinced is from hell than the game when you don't have internet and it's that little T-Rex jumping over cactuses and avoiding birds and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That 404 era game. Yeah.
Yep.
That's from hell.
That is from hell.
I'll say that.
It's horse shit. Yeah.
But it is funny because they clearly don't take it seriously, though. Like, Ram's Prayer was my favorite.
Yes.
This is a test to our boy, Patrick Laberto. He was the main bad guy in Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we, like, he was our favorite part of Three Ninjas.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And Fester.
Yes.
Yeah.
And something about his facial mannerisms and how he moves his head around. He's like, Jesus, God in heaven, why'd you have to kill such hot snatch?
Just a joke.
It's just a joke, man. Jeez, people are so serious. Like, he might be one of my favorite, like, B-list actors of all time.
I think it's his eyes, man. It's his,
dude, I was just going to say.
Okay, yeah, yes. Yeah, go ahead.
It's just like he's got that, like, look of, I don't know, when he's, like, even praying, he's like... It's just like a kind of like a lost puppy almost.
It's like a 1,000-yard stare, but he's looking right past what's in front of him.
Yes,
like that's kind of what it is, and
he's focused on snatch.
It's great. Yeah, he sees snatch from 1,000 miles away, but you know that's what it is.
Calling all cars.
Oh yeah, he's so
open up the cash register. Hey, my good man.
I don't know what it is about him, man, but he's got quite a IMDb of like lots appearances of TV, like that. You know? Lots of TV. Little House on the Prairie is where he started. It's like, man.
If you say Little House on the Prairie, I'm just gonna imagine Fester shows up for like one episode in Little House on the Prairie.
Oh. Hey, oh, little dude. Dudes.
Hey, little dudes. Hey, you guys churning some butter in here?
Hey, we should get the cows into pasture, huh? That's right.
Man, you little dudes are serious.
I do love their like individual testimonials for Heather. Like that editing style is like kind of bringing back from the cafeteria. You know what I mean?
You mean like where the news is like interviewing him or the yearbook is?
No, the scene we're talking about where he's like,
oh, the prayers.
Yeah. So they all have an opinion on like Heather. You know, they all have a Heather story or like something to say to God about Heather, even though probably didn't know her too much or like her even too much. You know?
Yeah.
It's really like the editing of that is really brilliant to me. Yeah. I like how the film takes us into that and out of this weird. Or out of like this kind of stationary shots that we've been seeing so far, you know?
For sure.
Do you think Winona Ryder is the best narrator while diarying? Because she did it in Beetlejuice.
Yeah, she must be.
She like, just typecast as like a girl who can write in a diary.
Like I say, though, very man, good journalist. She must be going through just hundreds of journals in a year. That she writes,
only one side of the paper,
approximately 13 words a page on this, and it is, or she's got really bad eyesight. I don't know which
could
one
be,
it is.
Could be, man.
But it's really like her. This is Heather. Died and
then
cliffhanger and you're just like okay. Man, okay,
she had jitterbug journals.
She just and then she like reaches the end of one and just like stacks it up here and then new page.
Well, let's move on to scene three. So Heather McNamara convinces Veronica to go with her, Kurt, and Ram on a double date. JD finds the 14s that evening in a field, and Veronica leaves with him. The boys spread a false rumor about Veronica, and JD helps her plan her revenge. In the forest, JD shoots Ram, and Veronica shoots Kurt. They plant evidence to make it look like a suicide. At their funeral, the boys are made into martyrs to homophobia. Disturbed by JD's behavior, Veronica breaks up with him.
Even speaking of the parents as well, she's like, what are you doing tonight, sweetie? He's like, I don't know, morning, maybe watch a little TV. Fucking love that. So
pretty
much.
Fucking good.
Morning.
Haven't decided yet.
Watch a little TV. He's like, what the fuck else are you going to do?
I guess. That's how I mourn.
Yeah.
I guess you just watch TV.
I just want to be mindless for a little while.
Turn movies like Road Trip on. Forget about everything.
Yeah. This is such a great cut again of the like, they've been really nice to us. And hey, just as fine, I'll go as long as we don't go cow tipping or something like that. Seeing them in the field where as long as they don't get drunk and go cow tipping, it's like they're being like buddies. Fucking love you, man. It's so funny to me. It's got such a whimsical nature that you don't even realize that it's like he's date raping her in the background and we're not even focused on it.
Yeah.
Like it's so wild and it's I like it. I like the take on it because it's like that's not a big deal. Yeah. You know, like they just kind of let that happen and
it's
even
part of high school.
Yeah, it's just part of high school, you know. And Winona Ryder has claimed that this is like her favorite moment from the film. That it's her walking up the hill, seeing JD in the background, is Heather just there. She said it's so subversive and dark that once you notice it, you can't stop thinking about it.
Ugh.
And it like took me a second to realize what was going on. But And but like the Heather was like, well, yeah, of course that's going to happen to me tonight. You know, like,
that's, yeah,
I don't like if that's a commentary on maybe the culture of the 80s. Like we look so fondly back on the 80s and 90s so nicely sometimes. But like, that's what's going to happen.
That's what I like about this movie so much, because I think my conclusion for the thing, I quote a YouTube video of this girl who said that. Carpenter's here to give you the bad news. And I think this movie is here to give you the bad news.
Yeah.
Like this is maybe this is, you see high school a little differently. Maybe John Hughes sees high school a little differently.
Yep.
You know, like this might be a little bit more how it really was. You know?
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sorry, AJ. it's time for you to talk.
No, it's not. It's just the whole lead up to it, of them like getting ready to like kill Kurt and Ram, yeah. Though is again I like the aftermath kind of commentary between them, that Veronica's like acting surprised and kind of shocked or like, well, and it's like, I didn't want to actually like kill him, you said that they were like bullets, it's like you lied to me, it's like you knew that what it was. If like you knew what was actually going on, you can't say that you didn't want this to happen because you were a part of it. Like you still went through with it even after he lied to you, but you wanted to believe his lie. That's what I think Christian Slater was saying. Mm-hmm. His character is saying.
Well, did you catch that subtle? They're in the room and he goes, JD's like, do you know German? And she's like, no, just French. And then he says, these are Ich Luge bullets.
Yeah.
Which Ich Luge in German means I'm lying.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
shit.
Which is, it's weird that they even had to do that. But like, I think JD wanted to be like, no, I told you.
I wasn't really lying.
I told you I was lying. I'm lying that these are fake bullets.
That's the thing. The idea is she is showing or saying that she didn't want this to happen, but he's like, well, you're not even being honest with yourself because you want, like, I lied to you, but you wanted to believe my lie and you mm-hmm. continued to go along with this,
yeah.
Even though what? Like,
well, we're going to like shoot bullets that go in their skin, but don't kill them. Like, even that's like, we've gone too far.
Yeah. Right. That's still fucked. Super weird.
Still assault with a deadly weapon.
It still is.
It's probably attempted murder at least.
Yeah. No, dude, you can run around a school and shoot blanks from a real gun. And
you'd
like,
still be in school.
Yeah. Yeah, you're still in school. It's fine.
One of my secondary props was mineral water. Because I left when he says, this is Ohio. If you don't drink, if you don't have brewski in your hand, you're practically wearing a dress. Right. I'm like, it's, you know, it's Iowa too.
for as much as, I mean, like, I want to talk about this. For as much as we can all go back and watch a movie like this and hear the endless drops of F words.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't feel comfortable saying. And for all the podcasts out there that are like, this movie should be canceled. Like, look at all the F words they dropped. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah. We don't say that nowadays. And that's great because we've learned. But this was the dialogue of the age. And it should be allowed to be said in this movie. But this movie doesn't just drop it for no reason. There's been movies where they're just dropping F word for no reason. Yeah. Just because, like, we could say it. It's funny. This movie, really, I was impressed when they're in the caskets with their helmets on.
Oh, my God, dude.
And that's such a testament to their identity as football players.
Yes.
Like, oh, I fucking love it. But then for the dad to be able to get up and basically say, my son's a homosexual. I love my dead gay son.
My dead gay son.
Like that's funny, but that's very progressive.
Yeah.
That the fact that he wouldn't be embarrassed at that. Like that's where this movie's like they're pushing things a little bit into progressiveness, right?
And to even go forward on like the until you're dead, no one respects you kind of thing. Yes. It's like he wouldn't love his son if he was alive and gay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, if he had come out to him the day before, he would be like, no, fuck you. We gotta get treatment for this.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that is again.
Gotta go to gay school.
Gay school. Where's gay school?
Get the gay out of here.
We gotta pray this away.
The church will help you with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
We gotta go to sun gay school.
Oh, man. Oh, all right. Wait, all right.
We haven't given this out for...
Why is it every week?
It should have been deployed with blackface. It's just a pre... You know, you were building up.
Man. Why is it that every week we pick a very, like, touchy subject and we fucking laugh really hard about it?
Because we have to.
Because we're awesome.
We're fucked.
Because...
Sunday school. Why do churches not say that?
I don't know. Well, there you go.
Oh, no. You got to go to Sunday school.
Every other Sunday is a Sunday school.
If you mean to tell me... And it's spelled S-O-N-K.
Wait. Oh, no.
S-O-N-G-A-Y.
My son's gay school.
He's got to go to Sun Gay School.
It's like, we keep doing these on episodes where maybe some people don't tune in because they're like, I don't really know that.
What's Heather's? Who cares?
No, but you're right, because like it's really great on the dad. Like, I'm very proud of the dad for saying what he says, but also yes. You're right. Like, he wouldn't have said that the day before.
Right.
That's brilliant, man.
Well, and you know, on these types of things, and you always talk about like, well, this movie, other places are like, these movies should be canceled. And it's like, it's the same idea of like, you want to erase history.
Yeah.
So you want to erase what we came from so we don't repeat it.
Right.
That's what you want to do.
Exactly.
Like, it's the same thing of like not wanting to teach about bad American history in history classes.
Yeah.
You want to not talk about that because it's important that we know so we don't repeat it.
There's a saying is that history repeats itself.
Exactly.
You know?
Wait till 30 years from now when our kids take over our podcast and the movies they're going to talk about from today.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God.
No.
Can you believe
my
that
dad
shit?
Had a joke and said Sun Gay School.
Yeah.
we don't even say that anymore.
I haven't talked to my dad in 6 years. He said Sun Gay School. Holy shit. You had a piece
poor
of Harris. Shit, bro.
Poor Harrison.
Sorry, bud.
He is done for.
Yeah. Sorry, bud. Yeah, he's done for because he'll never be as funny as me. Oh!
There's a new king in town, AJ. We're like age gay school. That's not funny.
Yeah, well. Oh, no.
Gay J?
Yeah.
He's never
my
heard
childhood.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome to my high
one.
School experience.
I said the wrong one. Sorry.
Yeah. I think it's on the nose funny, you know, because they want to, they put him in there with their helmets on, and then it's just taking this again. It's like that's the dark comedy aspect, and that's these parts that make it seem like somebody's telling me this story second or third hand. It's like, yeah, they had the boys in there, and even the dad was pretty choked up, and but you know, they buried him with their helmets too. It's like, fucking didn't.
You're so right.
What the. You're making that up.
Yeah,
that's very funny.
It's the best shot of the movie. Like,
he's
I love
the football.
I love how, like, because I think they go to it and they have Otho like talking and like the camera's on him. He's like these boys. It cuts to them. Like, cutting to them first would have been not as funny. You know what I mean? But going to Otho talking about
the
them
funeral.
In third person and then talking, showing them is so funny.
Yep. And I think even Otho is saying.
Father Ripper.
Yeah.
I like Otho. It's
Otho Ripper is basically saying, he's basically saying like, no, the church doesn't like this, but at the same time, we're okay with it now, like that kind of thing. Yeah. It just seems like he's alluding to this about them, even though the church wouldn't be okay with it. We are okay with it.
So after the events of Beetlejuice, Otho realized that the spirit world was pretty crazy and that converted him to like Catholicism. Like, he's like, oh shit, I gotta. And so he went and became instead of an interior decorator, he's like,
he's
a priest
seen
now.
It all. Really.
I'm a priest now.
Yeah. He started Sun Gay School. I'm just saying.
Oath Ripper is my new band.
Oath Ripper.
Yeah.
Well,
for the podcast sake, Oath Ripper.
Oath Ripper.
Can that just be the name of a song?
Okay. Yeah.
I like Oath Ripper.
Actually, yeah, I'm gonna write it down right now.
Oath Ripper.
I don't give a fuck.
Oh, love it.
Can you write it about Otho becoming a priest
and starting a Sun Gay school?
Yeah. Yes. He and converted himself first, and then he. Oh, yeah.
No. You'll hear it soon.
All right, well, see
you. Sun Gay
School. All right, scene 4. So JD blackmails Heather Duke into getting every student to sign a petition. Martha, a large girl who is frequent target of bullying, attempts to kill herself by walking into traffic but survives. Heather McNamara attempts suicide, but Veronica intervenes. Veronica returns home, and her parents say that JD stopped by. Realizing that he plans to kill her, she fakes her own suicide by hanging. JD finds her, and assuming she's dead, gives a monologue revealing his plan to blow up the school pep rally, make it look like a mass suicide. This is so important to me. This whole idea, like they even talk about it with Heather McNamara's suicide. Like, if everyone jumped off a bridge, would you?
See?
Yeah,
okay.
Probably. Yeah. And the idea that all the popular kids can turn, the popular kids can take committing suicide and be like, no, this is what popular kids
do. It's the cool thing to do.
This is the cool thing to do. And that they can find a way to make fun of Martha.
Yes.
For not only attempting to commit suicide, but not even being good enough to die.
Right.
She's not even good enough. She wasn't popular enough. She wasn't cool enough. She couldn't even do it the right way. It's honestly hilarious that she's just trying to copy everyone and not like, it's like, it's, this is the most like sick conversation maybe of
darkest,
this movie.
This is the darkest thing of anything we've maybe talked about in the podcast.
Yeah. Like
of how ingrained bullying and like cool kids versus not cool kids are. Like, it's fucked up.
It's
not far fetched. This is what would happen.
Yeah.
We're not like going, it's funny, right? Cause like, no,
I mean, think about there's people faking illnesses or ailments on TikTok, you know, like with having Tourette's or some shit like that. There's people faking that for like likes and clout and shit.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's somebody out there who is also another fake ailment TikToker who's like, you're not even doing it right.
You're not even the real.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck are we even doing here?
Popularity.
Yeah.
The new popularity is views and likes and subscribers and like, that is the ultimate test of being the popular kid is how many subscribers do you have, bro?
Like I say, like was it Mike Giuliano in the Little Lebowski who said it that it's like too close to now it's too close to reality.
There are moments where it just goes, that's not funny enough because this is kind of real to me.
Well, and that's the thing, like how does it get to that level, you know what I mean? And it's just such a dark conversation that is played very lightly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And her Martha like actually getting ready to go like and to walk out into traffic again, it's like it's dark.
This sucks.
Yeah.
And I think what makes it even darker, and again maybe it's just reading into some things too much, but in most scenarios, you would have somebody, let's say it was like, oh, somebody's going to go hang themselves in the barn or something like that. Oh, yeah. But we're making it fun. Somebody would be running in there at the last moment to try to make an even further joke out of it to be like, no, Carl, what are you doing? Don't you do this, damn it, Earl? Like, what's happening? You're trying to hold him up and making it funny. And then the rope breaks and it's like, falls on him. It's like, thanks for breaking my fall rather than my neck. And that they'd make some joke out of it. And in this, Martha is alone and walking out into that traffic. Mm-hmm. And there is
with shit on her shirt.
Things on her shirt.
Cause it was the last straw.
Yeah, exactly. And there is no one coming to save her. No one walking to save her. The traffic isn't stopping for her. That's a very, very bleak thing to watch as an audience.
I think our queen, our dark queen herself, Winona Ryder, said it best in your quote that you had about her, where she's, this movie is just like all subversive. Like it's just taking everything, every like, sort of like taboo topic, especially with like young high school people, and subverting everything about it. And subverting these teen comedy movies as well, which is what I like about it. I guess we'll get to that with my end, with the ending, but yeah.
We didn't get to talk. I mean, I want to bring up Winona Ryder because, first of all, does anyone wear black goth better than she does?
I don't think so.
And that was an issue of mine with the movie. I think she's the worst dressed person in this movie, probably on purpose. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Her clothing is so god awful looking back on the 80s. But when she goes to black goth for like the funeral, it's just like, you're the queen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're the queen. She's so damn good at everything she does, and I couldn't have seen anybody else be this role.
She's really not,
I don't know why.
She really hasn't, like, I don't know, not missed a beat in this role. You can see why she wanted it so bad. She was almost like made for this role, to be honest. Where I guess the reason that she wanted it so much is that she saw a lot of herself in this character, mm-hmm. maybe, or saw a lot of herself in the or related. She's
pretty
to
fresh out of high school too, so she probably,
yeah,
like, was fresh in her mind.
Didn't she do Beetlejuice before this? Right,
Beetlejuice was like a year before this.
Okay. So I don't know, like, coming off of this, it just seemed like it was very personal to her.
It's dark too, and yeah, she's the dark queen.
She's the best. I think she's amazing in it. Like, she could have been maybe a little lackluster, yep. with a movie like this, but she fucking crushed this. She's so good in it.
And then, like, she does this like fake suicide thing, which I was like, oh god, like
I did not see that coming, and I was not very, at all. I was shocked. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it got me thinking, like, how did she actually? How did she fake that? She's clearly like almost like something else was tied around her waist that she was loosening up. But it was like, well, what if that went wrong?
Yeah.
They just very much skim over that. But maybe that's the lackadaisical just part of this. Like, oh, whatever. Like, I'm going to fake this so I can hear what you're going to say, because you're going to monologue over me, JD, over my dead body. And like,
yeah,
I don't know. It got a very... This like dream sequence thing, and then like that took me out a little bit of this movie. Mm. This, because this is where that dream sequence happens, right? Where the knife. Are we talking about that? You know what I'm talking about?
Like, yes.
She falls asleep on the bed and dreams that like he's trying to kill her.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That felt a little out of place to me in this.
Yeah, the dirty knife thing, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. I knew it was fake because they're showing her a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you have somebody who's hung in a movie, it's usually very, like, quick clips, because it's... Anyone just being hung, whether it's real or fake, I mean, it's disturbing imagery. Yeah. Like, it's weird to look at.
We don't want to see it.
And
But they kept showing it. Don't worry, it's fine.
Yeah, and so... And then her mom walks in, and it's just like, oh, I should have let you take that job at the mall. I just didn't want you. And then she, like, perks up, and it's like, again, mom... is apparently still so far enough removed. It's, yeah, like, what the hell are you talking about? The job at the mall.
It's my fault.
Yeah.
It is your fault.
And again, making it about her.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about that? I should have let you do this, or I should. Oh, man. And her mom immediately just makes it about her. And then she's just like, cool that she's fine.
Yeah, like, well, you're fine. There's some serious, oh, your boyfriend, you did this for your boyfriend? Okay, oh. But any pâté's ready in 10 minutes. Come on down.
The pâté is still cold. It hasn't gotten lukewarm yet, so you can come on down.
How was your other friend's suicide the first day back? How was everything pretty good?
Dude, hell yeah.
What the fuck?
Kids are weird.
Is this the same? Kids will be kids.
No, man. You just got to let them do what they want to do.
What will they do next?
I mean, come on.
Is this also the scene where I think Heather Chandler comes back? Is like, the afterlife is so boring. If I have to sing Kumbaya one more time.
I think that was during the dream,
like in the back of the church.
Yes. And so that too was just like, even in death, they're not satisfied with what they got going on. You know, it's just like they will never be satiated with life ever.
And I think it just makes it that point of, you know, we talk so much about how this martyrs them for everyone else to own as their own in some way, shape, or form. And even death is not, it's not good for them.
Yeah.
I don't know what heaven's like. I don't know anything about what you're talking about. It's like, no, it's still bullshit for the person that it happened to. And it's like, ugh.
I'm sure there's cliques in heaven too.
Oh yeah.
Like there has to be. It's probably more the same.
You didn't pray as much as I prayed.
Are you kidding? I mean, John Hughes is up there. You know there's cliques, man.
Come on.
Well, before we do scene five, let's talk about the Jarrett Layoff Confused Breakfast Actor Database. This do you know who the number one is of all the movies we've done? What actor in this movie's been in our most movies?
Is it Christian Slater?
It is Christian Slater, okay. Yeah. This is his fourth movie. Remember, he was in Austin Powers, True Romance, Legend of Billie Jean, and of course, Heather's. Patrick Labyrinth, this is his third. He was uncredited in Blazing Saddles. I want to ask him about that.
Same.
I want to ask him where he was at in that.
There's a voice in it or something.
Yeah, something like that. And then...
Christian Slater's in Austin Powers.
Yeah, I need to know about this too.
He was like a security guard. Remember? Yeah, he was. He was when they're breaking into the facility at the end there, and they go in lab coats and they come out.
Yeah.
And there's a security guard there. It's okay. Literally Christian Slater.
Let me see.
Here, look. Here he is. I'll show you. There he is.
Wow.
Yeah. Surprised you guys didn't know that. You do a movie podcast.
What the fuck?
Well, I guess that's it. Jared, if you can make it into Cedar Rapids, you can have my seat. Well,
and one more, too. Mark Bringleson, he was one of the officers that found them.
That's a fake name.
Mark Bringleson.
Yep.
Bringleson. Mark Bringleson and Peter Travers.
He was an officer that found them, that found the football players. Okay. And he was also an officer in Airheads. And he was Andy Warhol in Austin Powers.
Oh wow. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's no shit. It's my happening, cool. Baby, and it freaks me out.
Yeah.
Those cops, they were really funny. They were acting like how they thought naked? Cops would act.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. I can't believe we've skirted over that, but them just the way that they are is not the way cops are.
No. Nope. Like, not even in the 80s.
It is it's like, nothing here. Just some kids making out in a car.
Are they naked?
Yeah, God, like they watched too many cop shows and movies, and then they became a cop and were disenchanted with paperwork. Probably
they have a shrine to Barney Fife up above their fucking committee.
Yes, your deputy's name is Barney.
Is Barney?
All right. Last scene, scene five. Veronica confronts JD in the school's boiler room as he plants dynamite. She shoots him, and his switchblade cuts the wires to the detonator. Veronica goes outside, and JD follows her with a bomb strapped to his chest. He offers a personal eulogy and detonates the bomb, killing himself. As students and faculty rush to see what happened, Veronica walks back inside, disheveled from the explosion. She approaches Duke, takes the red scrunchie, asserts that Duke is no longer in charge. Veronica invites Martha to spend prom night watching movies together. Mm. Did you rewind the middle finger blowing up? Like when he goes,
when it gets shot off.
Yeah, and the finger gets shot off. I was like, yeah, that probably, I bet that was pretty bad. And it's like perfect editing, CGI or whatever the fuck they did there. The middle finger and just goes, and he's like, I rewound that two or three times.
Really?
Just to see how perfect it was. It was really good.
Good. Okay.
When he's
cool.
Down in the boiler room.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I speaking of Shannon Doherty in this too, like it, and what I brought up earlier, the almost Goodfellas gangster-ish, esque nature of a clique and the hierarchy. Like one leader dies. And so the next one
steps in.
Usurps
the throne.
Yeah, the usurper of like the positions. Like she's third, and everyone's dead now. So she's now the leader. You know, it's so fucking stupid, but so funny. And then to see to read that she was playing it straight the whole time, I'm like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah,
you know, that she thought this was like a real drama.
There's some other movie that we kind of did that same thing. Or no, that was American Psycho again, where Willem Dafoe was asked to play it three different ways.
Yep.
You know, and
so good.
And that's great to have somebody's perception of what's going on to be like a straighter, more clean, precise role is great. Honestly, there's the whole thing of for her in particular. Well, other Heather, she did surveys. You're going to do petitions. And it's just like it's just a thing that she does to go around to be popular. Like,
just to talk to people.
Just to talk to herself. People.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing that she does. And the petition, what was the petition that she got signed again?
Well, it was masked under a lot of different things.
Oh, that's right.
That was how she got everyone to sign it, is because if it was the nerds, it'd be like, to get D&D allowed in the cafeteria.
She tailored it to certain cliques.
Yeah, so that way everyone would sign it. But ultimately underneath it was, what was the final petition that they all signed? Oh, it was the suicide note.
Yes.
They were all signing a suicide note.
Okay.
That they were going to die in the at prom. Mm-hmm. In
oh
the
my
gym.
God.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's dark.
Yeah.
Wow. Thing. Do you think he was actually going to tell her how to turn the bomb off?
I don't think so. I think he was pretty hell-bent and determined to kind of play this whole thing out and get the story, even in death, you know?
So then what stops him from, like, still, like, walking into the middle of the gym and going into the crowd and blowing himself up?
Yeah,
you know, like, I don't much like the ending of this movie, where half of me doesn't like that Veronica gets to, like, be the arc she does, because she's still
was a bad person.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And I almost don't like that she gets to be like the hero in this when she killed people. you know? And, like,
I mean, she took part in it.
She was part, like, of the clique. She was the clique.
Yeah.
She was involved in it. And so some...
She was involved in every bad part of this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
And so I don't necessarily like that. And I don't really like this JD martyrdom. Like, I guess I'm just going to blow myself up then and see you in heaven, I think, maybe. You know, like that, unless you got a better, like, description of why this happens, I don't know. It just...
I don't really. I do know that there was an alternate ending that they were going to shoot. And it was that he did blow up the whole school, and it ended with like a prom in heaven pretty much, which I really like.
Well, and the idea was that they're all friends.
Yeah.
That it took them all dying now, to go to heaven, and they were all like Martha was like singing, and everybody's like, yeah, Martha.
Which,
like,
wow, calls into effect too. Like, the person I was in high school is so dead. Which is just like kind of like killing that version of yourself to become something else. You know?
I like that way better. The way you just said that, man.
I like that. What you just said, that is the most, if we had a profound belt, then you would win it right now.
Here it is. It's this little,
it is.
It's the profound silicone chip.
Awesome. Yes. Congrats. Thanks, guys. Congratulations.
Wow.
Wow. Don't know what that I know.
Is. Don't eat that. I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
But it is, I think it is. I think that is very good. It's kind of like, you're right. Like the person that you were in high school, even in college, you know, by the time you're mid 30s or whatever, that person is basically dead. I mean, it's whether like even the things that you liked and the things you didn't like, it's all pretty much could be gone.
Or it's evolved into something else, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. You know, the things that evolved out of it, I guess, you know, hopefully is for the better.
Yeah.
But man, that's a good way to put it, because I like that. That actually gives me some semblance of this like ending of the movie.
Yeah,
yeah. Because wow, look at Veronica. She's gonna be nice to everybody now. There's a new sheriff in town.
I do agree with you that it's like she doesn't get any comeuppance, and it seems like she should, even though I love her.
Yeah,
so much, you know. But she did bad things.
Yeah. And who's to say that she's now the leader? Like, who's to say she's not gonna eventually just get drunk on power again or something?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like. Yeah. I mean, she goes over to Martha's house and it smells weird. So she's like, I'm never going to Martha's house anymore.
Yeah, she definitely hasn't. Like, I mean, she's been sitting in that hover round for way too long. It smells terrible. Like,
it was like a drummer's drum throne. Probably smells like fucking rank ass.
Oh, Jesus. That bike seat's just, oh. Anyways.
Yeah, but it's just a weird thought. Oh, and actually, did you hear? I mean, this is actually really kind of sad that. Jeremy Applegate was the guy who played Peter, who he was kind of I think he was the guy raising money for Africa and said, oh, I'm never going to commit suicide. I would never do that. He actually did commit suicide in the year 2000 at age 34. And then Kim Walker, who played Heather number one, she even in the movie says, did you have a brain tumor for breakfast? She died of a brain tumor in 2001 at age 32. Yeah, kind of sucks. Sad. I hate, because especially Kim Walker, who played Heather One, I was like, oh, she's really good.
Really good.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And you look at her IMDb and it's like an old photo. You go, oh, shit.
So, oh, my gosh.
Kind of sad.
That's a shame.
It's like, it's almost like a curse of the movie or something like that. Yeah. That's terrifying. Ugh, that's terrible, man.
Well, you got anything else on this movie, boys?
I think I'm good.
We have stripped away Sean's nostalgia. We are going to talk about
Martha and Veronica
it.
Spend like happily ever after.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I guess I do like the aspect of like, instead of going to prom, renting some videos, some that's new releases.
Cool. You're like, that's my queen. I would do that with you, queen.
I would do that all day with her.
Never wanted to be Martha more in my life.
Especially if you wear black. All right, we got to talk about modern day, especially if you're wearing black in the shower.
Oh, okay.
We got to talk about our modern day rating of this. We're going to go to Sean first on this one, since he was the only one who actually saw this before yesterday. Sean, what do you think about this movie? Modern day rating.
Yeah, I coming into this, I've never heard of anybody like in person. I've heard like some people that I like on different podcasts, like Pure Cinema Podcast. They actually had the writer Daniel Waters on to talk about high school movies. They did a top five of high school movies. And he was really cool to learn from and see like where some of his influences might have come from with like older high school movies and stuff. So that was really cool. I think this movie is like masterfully written. I think it's one of the scripts out there that it's, I think Michael Lehman saw it and was like, there's no flair to add to this because it's all dialogue and it should all just be kind of entombed into a frame and not be fucked with, not like have sweeping, you know, drone shots, I guess it would be crane shots back then, you know, fill in with this movie. It should just be the dialogue and be the characters. I really respect that about the direction. I think the performances are really good. I did see an interview with Daniel Waters. He said that the movie was partly inspired by one single line in The Breakfast. And I agree with and think that this movie is the "when you become an adult, your heart dies" of high school movies.
Cool.
Wow, yeah.
That was extremely profound when I heard him say that. I'm like, that is the epitome of this movie. Mm-hmm. I really think that it's something special. I think it's an 8 for me.
8 wow. for Sean. AJ, what about you, man?
This is really tough for me because I have to think about... I have been trying to think about other movies that we've done that I want to make sure I can compare it to properly and just make sure I'm not out of turn. Rating these things out of turn because, and I don't know really what else there would be. Like for me, there's the movies that coincide with this are like Coen Brothers type movies. And even, like what was that? Like True Romance, you know, things like that, that they just, they feel a little bit too surreal, you know? And like my first, like really watching this through, I wasn't like enthralled with the movie by any means. This is certainly one of the movies that talking with you guys, it makes me appreciate the movie a same. Ton.
That's why
more.
We do this.
This is probably going to be like a 7.8 until we started talking about
hey,
it.
Hey, nerds yeah. online, maybe watch it with some friends and talk about it.
Super weird. nerds.
Isn't that weird?
But it's tough to rate because I love Winona Ryder. I love Christian Slater. Like I think sometimes the performances become a little tchotchke, but then it's kind of falls into this vein of like, well, maybe that's kind of the vibe because of the surrealness of it. And so it's tough for me. I think, you know, if I was going to regurgitate something that Mike has said before, I'm sure the more that I watch this movie, the more I will probably enjoy it and the more it would go up. But based on just what I've seen and getting to talk to you guys about it, I think I would give this movie... I think I would be generous to give this movie a 7.15.
I'm going to split the difference between you guys. Like I will definitely like this more. If it would have only been my first watch, if I only had time to watch it one time, I would have been more like a 5, 6. Second time, I was like, okay, I see more what you're doing here. Satire is not necessarily my thing because I almost just want it to be like, just go that route or go that route. Like, yeah. don't hide it for me because I'm not as smart as some people. Okay. But I love this idea of this convoluted mess. Like we hate JD, but we realize it's his dad's fault, but JD still sucks. Cause you can change that JD. We're mad at Veronica for going along with the bullying and wanting to be popular, but it's probably her rich upbringing and shitty parents' fault. We're mad at all the Heathers and the jocks, but they're just a product of high school culture and coming of age. So there's like you kind of hate the establishment and you feel for the kids. But then at the same time, Veronica's mom says when teenagers complain that they want to be treated like human beings, it's usually because they are being treated like human
that
beings.
That is my favorite line of this entire movie.
And that's when it
movie.
Flips it back around and be like, well, duh, of course the parents are being pieces of shit because their kids suck and they're going through high school.
Yeah.
So I love that aspect of it. It still doesn't beat other high school movies for me, but like, I bet it probably will eventually as I keep watching. I'm going to go a 7.51. So that is a 7.55 for the group on our modern day rating, which isn't going to be too bad. Oops. Hold on. We slid over there. Modern day rating 7.55 is going to take us to a tie with Tombstone in the 60th spot.
Okay.
Is where that's going to be on our list. That is right. That's better. It's sliding up into the top 50% of the movies we've done.
Wow, okay.
This is one of those movies that was, when I first saw it, it's challenging. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know if this is any good.
Yes.
And it's like a album. Like there's a band called Daughters out there. It's super confronting, like weird electronic, almost just like noise music that I'm like, I don't know if I like this.
And if you didn't give it a second chance, you would just go on saying, exactly. I don't like this.
It takes time to get, and I love challenging things like that.
That was Sleep Token for me. Okay. I was like, nah.
This movie would like challenge me. I'm like, I don't know. And then you keep giving it another chance. You're like,
the more you read about it, the more underneath you unravel and go, well, wait, what if they meant that by this? Yeah. Like that's when it goes, ah. Yeah.
It's happened when we recorded this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, getting to discuss the movie with you guys is it gives me back what I might regret about not being able to see this movie sooner in life.
Yeah.
To be that's able true. To. Like start breaking it down or identify it with it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that opportunity. So that's why I'm glad we got to talk about it.
I think once you find something else inside the movie, it'll relate to you at the time of your life. Probably. Right.
For sure.
That's what's cool about these things.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Thanks for being here. Tune in next week. We discuss Cliffhanger followed by Office Space.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Wow.
And if you're new to the podcast, go back this time last year, another fantastic high school movie with zero satire, Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Boom.
No satire.
Perfect.
No satire in that.
Zero satire allowed. All right, guys.
We all knew a werewolf.
So, guys, thank you so much for attending this week's Sungay School. We really Sungay do. School. Appreciate you being here. We would appreciate if you leave us a review here on YouTube. We're in that new studio, got them fresh vibes. So check us out on YouTube and check us out on social media, guys. Search for @ConfusedBreakfast. Just search Confused Breakfast. You'll find us. Trust me, you will.
ConfusedBreakfast.com. You can get some of our merch. I think you can get some shirts. I think you could probably get some stickers. You can get some koozies at Not Your Father's Beer shirts, some official Steve Kuzer koozies. You can go to the same damn website and see the ratings of the movies that we've done. You see AJ's ratings, you see my ratings, and you see Mike's ratings, and then the show's ratings overall. I love you. Goodbye.
If you want to protest our bringing the word Sungay School into the world, then you can come to Upload Media Group, which is where we're produced in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
No.
You can pick it outside, but know that it is us and it's not them. They just produce this show.
Yeah,
okay?
They just do it.
We got Logan and Craig in the room here, uploadmediagroup.com, and we are on the Cloud 10 iHeart Podcast Network. Learn more at cloud10.fm. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Sungay School will be next Saturday.
Sungay School is every other Sunday.
Every other Saturday.
It's on a Saturday.
Hey guys, I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Albinson.
And we're the hosts of your new favorite show, The Psychologist RN. Each week, we go episode by episode talking about our favorite moments from psych, sharing behind the scenes stories, incredible memories, and even have drop-ins from our best friends and fellow cast and crew. If this sounds up your alley, listen to The Psychologist RN on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.